Prunella Scales is Sarah France in After Henry by Simon Brett, with Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, and Jerry Cowper as Claire. The dinner party.
But I do wish you'd stop looking over my shoulder. I'm trying to work out this menu, and there is nothing more distracting than having someone trying to read what you're reading.
I know, Sarah, dear.
Well, you know, why do you do it?
I'm just showing an interest.
Well, how about showing an interest in your own book instead?
Yes, dear. Of course, dear. Oh, I wouldn't give them that, Sarah.
What?
Those potatoes in garlic mayonnaise. I mean, garlic is a very strong taste, and you don't want your dinner guests going home reeking of it, do you?
Mother, will you mind your own bloody business?
There's no need to swear, Sarah. But you've made your point. I'll be as quiet as a mouse. Not a sound will you hear from me.
I don't see why you're making such a fuss about this dinner party.
Mother!
It's not as if you haven't given dinner parties before.
Well, I haven't given many since Henry died.
Well, I don't see what difference that makes.
It's a huge difference. I mean, just having to make all the preparations on my own without Henry.
But when Henry was alive, he never helped you prepare a dinner party.
No, but at least he was there.
Well, I still don't see what difference it makes.
But surely you must have felt the same when Daddy died, the difficulty of entertaining on your own.
Not really. But then, of course, we didn't ever entertain in the same lavish way that you do. Money just wasn't around when we were first married. We had to scrimp and save to keep you children fed. There wasn't a lot left to spend on garlic mayonnaise for our friends. I think what you forget, Sarah, is...
All right, Mother, all right. I don't want the complete history of the Depression. Yes, I've been very privileged and I'm duly appreciative of my good fortune, but the fact remains that I still feel odd setting up a dinner party on my own.
You miss the calming presence of someone with a bit of confidence, a bit of savoir-faire to help you.
Exactly.
Don't worry, dear. I'll help you.
What? No, no, I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh, it's no trouble. I'm quite prepared to put myself out for you.
I dare say, but I'm not quite sure that I...
Sarah, don't be silly. If I'm going to be at this dinner party, then I might just as well help you prepare it.
Ah.
What do you mean, ah?
I mean, Mother, that I hadn't actually planned on your being at this dinner party.
Oh? Why? I'm free that evening.
But I thought you played bridge with Winifred every Friday.
Yes, normally I do, but because this is a special occasion, I put Winifred off. She fully understood.
Yes. What I'm actually saying, Mother, is that I was not intending you to be at this dinner party.
What did you say? I'm getting rather deaf.
I said, Mother, that you are not invited for next Friday.
Don't understand.
I can't put it plainer than that. Look, I am setting up a dinner party and I want it to be a nice, civilized adult occasion. Do you understand now?
Oh, yes. Fully. The way you see it, I'm not nice.
I didn't
I'm uncivilized.
Mother!
And I'm in my second childhood.
I didn't mean that. All I meant was that Clifford and Gwen Davis are not people I know very well, and I want, I suppose, to impress them without being constantly brought down by you.
Brought down? By your own mother? Are you suggesting I'm not a suitable parent for you?
No, it's just that you still treat me as if I'm a bloody teenager.
There's no need to swear, Sarah.
Well, see what I mean? I know what you're like. Just when I'm doing my best to be suave and sophisticated, you come in and undermine me with some anecdote of how I used to behave when I was a child.
I won't.
Of course you will. All mothers do it. It's one of their functions.
Not one of my functions. I've never done anything like that. I think you're being most insensitive. You always had this streak in you, you know, Sarah. I remember when you were at school, you didn't want me to come to speech day one year because you were afraid I'd tell Miss Thorpe you had a crush on her.
And I was right, you did tell her.
Oh, she was very amused.
Well, I wasn't. Look, I'm sorry, Mother, I know it sounds as if I'm just being rotten, but I really think I will be able to cope with this dinner party better without you. Please understand, it's nothing personal.
No. No, of course not. Nothing personal. I'm only your mother, after all, so one wouldn't really expect there to be anything personal. Would
mother!
Don't worry about me, Sarah. I'll be fine. There's always the television, after all. A lot of elderly people find the television's a great comfort when their family drifts away.
Here, this may help. Make you realize that your mother's not the only one.
What is it? Oh, very good, Russell, very good. Foxy's Book of Martyrs.
1853, Mendham Pratt. Not, unfortunately, a first. Now, that really would be worth a few quid.
Well, when they revise it, my bloody mother should get a whole chapter to herself. Honestly, you think I tried to murder her or something? She creeps round the house with an expression of pained reproach engraved on her forehead and pretends that she's deaf. Not that it matters about an elderly person being deaf. It only matters for people who get talked to a lot. All this is said in a voice of pain, nobly born. It's all right, Sarah. There's no need to worry about me, Sarah. I think that's the most disturbing thing a mother can say. There's no need to worry about me. It instantly throws her children into paroxysms of anxiety.
Which is what it's meant to do.
Oh, yes. I think with my bloody mother, she'll see to it that she makes those her dying words, leaving me the rest of my life trying to work out what I should be worrying about.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. And all this, the full Greek tragedy, because you don't want her at your dinner party.
Yes.
Makes me feel almost guilty for being on the magic list of people who are invited.
Don't feel guilty. You'll earn every last after-dinner mint.
These Clifford and Gwen people, a bit daunting, are they?
Quite honestly, I can't remember them that well. They invited us to dinner just before Henry died, and for the last 2 years I've been plucking up courage to ask them back. From what I recall, Gwen's all right when she's allowed to get a word out. Clifford can be a bit overpowering, rather forthright in his opinions.
Ah, how did you meet them?
Henry used to come across Clifford in the course of work. He's in hospital administration. Henry managed him quite well, sent him up all the time. Not that Clifford realised he was being sent up. Oh, dear. I'm not sure that I'll be able to manage that.
Well, I'll be there.
Oh, bless you. I can't thank you enough for helping me out.
One thing I wanted to ask. Am I gay?
What do you mean? I thought that was one of the major discoveries of your life.
Yes, of course. But I meant, am I gay for the purposes of your dinner party? I mean, since you didn't invite Bob, do I presume that I'm there masquerading as your latest romantic interest?
For heaven's sake, no. Oh, dear, I feel awful now. I should have invited Bob, shouldn't I?
No, it'll be all right. Take your mother out for the evening. They could sit over a bottle of vitriol and bitch about you.
I'm terribly sorry, Russell. I wasn't thinking. Is he terribly upset?
No, no, he's all right. No, don't worry about it.
You must both come round, really. I mean, on a more suitable occasion.
Ah, from which I gather that one of Clifford's forthright opinions is a disapproval of homosexuals.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. It's just that he and Gwen are terribly boring, and when you and Bob come round, I'd like it to be a really fun evening.
You don't mind me on my own being bored to tears?
I can't say anything right at the moment.
Sarah, sending you up.
Are you really?
Of course.
I wish I'd never contemplated this dinner party. Every arrangement I make for it seems to upset someone.
Well, I'm not upset, really. What about Claire, though? Have you upset her yet?
Not about this, no. I think for once I've done something that doesn't upset my daughter. Quite an achievement. Actually, she's been much happier generally since we converted the flat downstairs for her. No, so long as she isn't expected to come to it, I think I can confidently say that nothing about this dinner party will upset Claire.
Well, really, Mummy, I think it's a bit inconsiderate setting up a dinner party for that day. I told you weeks and weeks ago that I was going to have my flat warming then.
Oh.
Didn't I?
Yes, yes, you did. I'm sorry, Claire, but you told me so many weeks and weeks ago that it completely slipped my mind. And when Clifford and Gwen said they were free for next Friday, I just sort of left at the
date. Mummy, if you can't organise your own social diary, that's hardly my fault, is it?
No, no, fair enough. Another nice, neat idea goes out of the window.
What nice, neat idea.
I just thought it'd be wonderfully convenient if you happened to be free to take your grandmother out to the cinema that evening.
Well, I won't be.
No, I can see that. You've actually invited everyone.
I haven't invited anyone.
Well, then perhaps you could change the date and...
Oh, I haven't invited anyone, but they're all coming.
Claire, I'm sorry to sound obtuse, but if you haven't invited anyone, what makes you think anyone's going to turn up?
Mummy, these days you don't invite people to parties.
No?
No, that's terribly middle-aged.
Well, then what makes them come? Telepathy?
No. You just let them know the party's likely to happen.
But you don't invite them?
No.
Ah.
Anyway, I can't change it now. It's all set up.
You mean everyone knows it's likely to happen?
Exactly. And incidentally, if you come near my flat that evening, I'll murder you.
Wild horses wouldn't drag
me there. It won't be your scene.
That I can believe. Well, look, Claire, I'm sorry, but since it's happened, and since your living room's directly beneath my dining room, could I just mention music? I'd really appreciate it.
Yes, that's a thought. Mummy, if you're going to have your usual tasteful background music going through your dinner party, could you keep the volume down? My friends won't want Vivaldi pounding through the floorboards at them all evening.
Actually, Claire, I was going to say the same to you. If your friend Gary is planning to bring all his cassettes...
Good music is meant to be played at high volume.
Okay, but I'm just asking you to moderate it. My friends won't want the top 20 pounding.
Mummy, I don't give that kind of party.
Oh. I'm sorry, I just wanted to be sure that... Hello, Mother?
Hello, Sarah, dear. Claire?
Morning, Granny. How are you this morning?
Oh, fine, fine. Don't worry about me, dear.
No, I won't.
I just came down to see that you were all right.
All right?
Yes, well, I read this piece in the local paper about a widow who died in her flat, and it was 3 weeks before anyone took the trouble to find the body.
So you're checking that I'm still alive?
Yes, dear.
Thank you. Well, as you see...
Oh, yes, yes. Actually, of course, that sort of thing is much more likely to happen to an elderly person. The young are surrounded by love and affection, but when you're old, very few people have the time to take an interest.
Mother!
Sorry, dear. You know I'm a little deaf.
Nothing.
You know, Sarah, I think it might be simpler if I were to move into a home. So much less trouble for everyone.
Mother, you live in a home.
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't say that. I live in a house. I live in a small flat in a large house where, by coincidence, my daughter also lives.
And your granddaughter?
Yes, my granddaughter, who I must say is a great source of comfort to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I mustn't keep you, Sarah. I know you've got lots to do. I just wanted to see that you were all right.
Are you going out?
Oh, yes.
Where?
Oh, how nice of you to ask. Well, I'm not sure, dear. I might go into the park. I could sit on a bench for a while, or if it rains, I dare say I could find a nice cosy bus shelter.
Mother!
I'll be all right. Don't you worry about me, Sarah.
Oh, my God, she drives me mad when she behaves like that.
Does she? I thought she was being rather sweet, considering the way you're treating her.
Thank you, Claire. When I next need support, I'll know where to come, won't I?
Corkscrew. Corkscrew.
Corkscrew, yes. Oh, my God, corkscrew.
You haven't got one?
Well, yes, I have, but it's complicated. You see, yesterday evening I went up to my mother's to, you know, spend some time with her dutiful daughter, but show that I cared.
Even though you didn't invite her to your dinner party?
Exactly, and I took a bottle of wine to cheer her up.
And you took the corkscrew too?
Yes.
And now you don't want to go upstairs again to ask her for it, because you don't want to be beholden to her.
You understand me remarkably well, Russell.
And you're very like Bob in many ways, Sarah.
Ah, has he forgiven me? How is he spending the evening?
Oh, curled up with a good book.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yes, I gave him that copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Oh.
Anyway, here we are with 6 bottles of wine and no corkscrew. Many people regard that as an emergency.
Yes.
So what are we going to do? I mean, I'd go out and buy one if I thought it'd be anywhere open. Seems a bit daft when you've got one on the premises.
Yes, it does.
So swallow your pride and go and ask.
I can't. Will you do it for me?
All right.
Just sit down and ask Claire if I can borrow hers.
Claire? But I thought your mother...
No, please. Please.
Oh, very well.
Sorry, but I've just got to beat up this garlic mayonnaise.
Don't worry. Beat away, Sarah. Beat away.
Hello, Sarah, dear.
Oh, you gave me a jump. Keep creeping up like that.
I don't creep, Sarah. I just do not make gratuitous noise when I move.
No, well, it comes to the same thing.
Well, I think it's just as well that I'm not coming to your dinner party this evening.
Oh, good. I'm glad you see it that way.
If you really are going to serve all that garlic.
Mother, I have got quite a lot to do, so if you don't mind...
I didn't come down just to be a nuisance, Sarah. I thought you might need this.
Ah, corkscrew. Thank you.
That was all. Having delivered it, I'll get out of your way and go back up to my little flat and my boiled egg. Oh, that steak looks very nice, Sarah. Have a good evening, dear.
Thank you. What are you going to do, Mother?
With my evening? Oh, don't worry about me. I'll watch the television.
Something good on?
I believe there's a European soccer semi-final.
You hate football.
Oh, needs must where the devil drives, Sarah.
Sorry, I must just dash and check things in the kitchen. Russell, if you wouldn't mind doing the drink.
Yes, yes, of course.
Can I do anything to help?
No, thank you, Gwen. Won't be a sec.
Well, what can I get you? Gin, whiskey, sherry, Campari.
Campari, ooh la la.
Sorry?
Campari. Always think it sounds like a puffs drink. Campari. You should see the people who drink it, too.
Do I gather you wouldn't like a Campari?
I should cocoa.
You mean you'd like cocoa?
No, I like the Harsta, boy. I'm a whiskey man.
Are you? Gwen, what can I get you?
Something soft.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. Gwen? Clifford.
Cheers.
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 Must be 20 past or 22.
Sorry?
Angel passing overhead.
Not with you.
I mean, nobody's talking.
Oh!
Russell, I've never seen you drink Campari before.
No, sometimes I just feel the need.
Oh. Well, this is jolly, isn't it?
What is wrong with the so-called caring professions in this country is that they just don't care. Goodness, as a hospital administrator, I see it every day. Don't I, Gwen?
Yes, Clifford.
There are a large number of patients in our wards who shouldn't even be in hospital. Is there some more of that wine, Russell?
Yes.
Well, don't keep it all to yourself. Pass it down. And I blame the doctors. Sheer bloody lack of imagination. Isn't it, Gwen?
Yes, Clifford.
They get a patient they don't know what to do with, and all they can think of is they shove him in bloody hospital. It's true. You can't deny it, Sarah. It's true.
Well...
Come on, what have you got to say for yourself?
Why should I have anything to say for myself?
Well, Henry was a doctor.
Clifford, my being a doctor's widow doesn't automatically make me responsible for every shortcoming of the National Health Service.
I mean, take the elderly. Hospital wards are cluttered up with elderly people who just shouldn't be there. But there's nowhere else for them. Our caring society has proved inadequate to the problem.
What would you think should happen to them?
They should be cared for in the family. That's what should happen to them. That's what used to happen. They should live with their family, be cared for by their family, be included in all the family activities. Don't you agree, Sarah?
Well, yes, to an extent. Do Gwen and your parents live with you?
No, mine are both dead and Gwen's are utterly repellent. Aren't they, Gwen?
Well,
yeah, so it wouldn't work in our case, but I'm talking about the principle. I mean, just imagine the sense of alienation an old person must feel left out on their own when they know that the younger generation's having a good time.
Yes.
Your parents still around, are they, Sarah?
My mother is.
Live near?
Pretty near.
Good. You see a lot of her?
Quite a lot.
Excellent. I dare say she's included in all the family's activities?
Well, some of them, yes.
I'm sorry, Sarah. I really am trying, but I do just find him repulsive.
Yes, I'd forgotten quite how awful he was.
Did you invite them?
I don't know. Principle of reciprocal entertainment. I suppose it's also because they're difficult. I haven't done much entertaining since Henry died, and I wanted to prove to myself that I still could. I suppose I reckon if I was strong enough to cope with Clifford and Gwen, then I was strong enough to cope with anything.
Entertaining should be a test of strength. You shouldn't use guests like chest expanders. Entertaining should be fun.
I know. You're very contrite, particularly for having involved you. Are you surviving?
Yes, just. I don't know how much longer I'm going to survive without punching Clifford's teeth in.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry, but he's just the sort of person who gets right up my nose. If he makes another snide crack about gays, I won't be responsible for my actions.
I don't think he's getting at you. I don't think he's real.
That's not the point. I mean, it wouldn't matter if there were a few other people around to dilute him. It were just the four of us.
Yeah. Coffee's ready. Of course, there is one thing we could do.
What?
I think we may be reduced to it.
Hmm?
Russell, would you mind going upstairs to my mother's flat and asking if she'd like to join us for coffee?
Pathetic cases I come across daily. These poor old dears on the wards, utterly bewildered. It's no surprise that the suicide rate among the elderly is mounting. Is it, Gwen?
No, Clifford. I hope you won't mind if my mother comes to join us for coffee. As I say, she lives nearby, and I did ask if she might like to drop in later.
Oh, no, we'd be delighted, wouldn't we, Gwen?
Yes.
Now, that is exactly how the elderly should be treated, made to feel part of things. I'm sure your mother really appreciates the care you show for her, Sarah.
Well,
I mean, I come across cases that are so tragic. Elderly people wandering round the street because they haven't got anywhere to go. Or at least nowhere to go where anyone cares for them.
Yes. Well, I hope... Oh, Russell.
Sir, could I just have a word with
you? Out there?
Yes.
Well, would you excuse me a moment?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Russell, what on earth is it?
She's not there.
Mother?
Yes, she's not in her flat.
What?
The door's ajar, the television's on. There's no sign of her.
Oh, my God.
Take my word for it. I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, of course.
Where on earth is your friend Russell now?
Oh, he just, nipped out to do something for me.
He's a very obliging fellow.
Yes, he is.
Are you still expecting your mother to drop in?
Ah, well, who can say? She's a very independent lady.
That's good. That's what one likes to hear about old people. Isn't it, Gwen?
Yes, Clifford.
No worries about your mother wandering around the streets, eh?
No. Excuse me. Yes?
Sarah?
Any sign?
No, I've looked in all the local pubs and she's not in any of them.
Oh, dear.
Shall I come back to the delights of Clifford and Gwen, or do you want me to look anywhere else?
Well, would you mind just checking the bus shelters?
bus shelters?
Please.
Oh, okay.
Bless you. Bye. Sorry about that. Just someone about something on the phone. Wanted to ring me about it. About something. More brandy, Clifford. Do help yourself.
Oh, thank you. I gather you've converted the basement into a flat.
Oh, yes.
Must be hard to make ends meet on a widow's pension.
Well, that's not really the reason.
Young people?
Sorry?
In the flat.
Oh, yes. Well, a young person.
I making a terrible noise down there.
It's a platform party.
Well, that's no excuse. I think that generation's just bloody selfish. Their music's a symptom of it. The way they've belted out at full volume without a thought for anyone else.
Well,
I blame the parents.
Oh.
But don't you agree? Come on, don't you agree?
Well, it's a point of view, certainly. Perhaps I should explain that.
Oh, no, this is too bloody much. I think you ought to go down and have a word with them.
Oh, I didn't think that.
Well, I do.
No, surely.
I see, I fully understand. You don't think it's a woman's place to go down and complain.
Exactly.
Well, I agree with you.
Oh, good.
So I'll go.
Oh, but Clifford...
Don't worry. I'll sort the little bastard.
Clifford. There's no way you can change him.
No.
God knows I've tried.
Come on, come on. What are you playing at, you noisy little punks? Open the door. Come on, or I'll complain to the police about the noise. Look, I know there is someone in there. Now, will you just open this door before I have to kick it down? I know there is...
Oh, good evening.
May I ask what on earth you were making all that noise for?
Alive?
Hard to say. Hungover.
I've got the same problem. I had to spend a long time massaging Russell's bruised ego with brandy after the others had gone. Have some coffee.
Oh, thank you.
But your party went all right?
Mmm. I reckon some of the others must have worse hangovers than I've got this morning. Hard though that is to believe.
Still, that's the true mark of success.
Was yours okay?
No, Claire, I wouldn't really say it was. I must ring Russell. I still feel terribly guilty. I was just using him, not thinking. No, I wouldn't say last night goes down in the annals of the great social evenings. In fact, it makes the Macbeth banquet look pretty convivial.
Bad luck.
It wasn't just the company. There were also external factors. In fact, I have a bone to pick with you about the external factors.
Please. My bones are too fragile to cope with picking at the moment.
No, I must say, Claire, it's about the music. You did promise me that you'd keep the volume down.
But it wasn't me who kept turning it up.
Claire, it was your party. You should be able to control your friends.
But it wasn't any...
Morning! I was just off to the shops. Anything I can get for either of you?
Morning, Mother. No, I didn't think so.
Claire?
No.
Thank you so much for the party last night, Claire. It was very sweet of you to include me. Wasn't it a charming thought, Sarah?
Oh, yes. Charming.
I thought your friend with the pink hair and the nose stud was most entertaining.
Gary.
Yes. Must learn to keep his hands to himself, though. Got rather fresh later on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it didn't matter.
So you had a good time?
Splendid, yes.
You might have told me that Claire had invited you.
Oh, I didn't think you'd want to be bothered with boring details about me. Anyway, Claire didn't invite me to the party. She just let me know that it was likely to happen.
Of course. I'm surprised you could hear yourself think with the noise that was going on down there.
Ah, now, Sarah, you must keep up with the times. Modern music is meant to be played at high volume.
Maybe, but...
Also, you have to remember that I'm getting rather deaf. That's why I had to keep turning it up.
You were doing it. Of course. And you were doing it on purpose, weren't you?
Sorry, dear. Didn't catch that. As I say, I'm getting a little deaf.
Never mind.
Well, must be off. Time and tide wait for no man. I'll see you later, dear, when you're feeling better.
Yes. My God, Claire, she's got a bloody nerve.
Sarah!
Yes, Mother?
There's no need to swear.
In The Dinner Party, you heard Prunella Scales as Sarah, Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, Jerry Cowper as Claire, Richard Davis as Clifford, and Ellen McIntosh as Gwen. After Henry was written by Simon Brett and produced by Pete Atkin.